You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time for our weekly catch-up with the ACT Party's Karen Chua.
For our weekly catch-up, I discussed with Karen the minimum wage and benefits increase, as well as proposals for an alternative Waitemata Harbour crossing. I started off the interview asking why ACT opposes measures to help low-income earners with the rising cost of living.
Oh, look, at the moment, we're looking at the bigger picture around can we actually afford to be doing this right now and so quickly when businesses are struggling as is. And you know, adding that extra cost onto a business right now, when we're looking at businesses closing, we're looking at areas that have been hurt up north and in the Hawke's Bay from the floods to the cyclone. Is this really the right time to be increasing minimum wage?
The living wage, which is a voluntary rate that's calculated every year by the New Zealand Family Centre Social Policy Unit, is also set to increase to $26 an hour. This wage, which is adopted by some employers voluntarily, is designed to reflect what they believe families need to live with dignity. Do you believe then that our lowest income families are able to live comfortably on that previous minimum wage of $21.20?
Yeah, so we're not saying it's not hard to live, and we're not saying that the wages that are currently there are keeping up with inflation. I think what we are saying is that we need to be looking at what are the drivers of people not being able to afford to live. I mean, we can put the money out, which is a good thing for these people at the moment because they really need it, but we need to look at all the unintended consequences that are going to follow that. And we need to also look at the advice that Ministry of Business and Innovation gave the government about some of those unintended consequences, losses of jobs and things like that, businesses closing their doors because they just can't afford another added cost onto their business. Minimum wage has increased 44% under Labor. How many businesses have increased their productivity by 44% in the past 6 years? And so those are the things we need to look at. And Labor really needs to look at the drivers of what's causing this problem so that we can fix those underlying issues rather than just keep putting up the money. Because when you put up the money, cost of living goes up even further. And those who are not on minimum wage but are your working poor above the minimum wage are starting to feel the squeeze too. And there's no help there for them. We need to look at the costs of everything that is around us. And housing is one of the biggest costs to a household, and we need to deal with that. And so we have a lot of policies to deal with the underlying issues of what's causing the cost of living to be so high that people can't survive on the money they're on at the moment.
Can you tell us then a bit more about some of those policies to address the rising cost of living that ACT would introduce?
So look, we've got our policies around making it easier to build homes, making it easier for councils to give permission to build homes with our GST sharing policy to allow councils to consent and for people to build, and that money can go towards the infrastructure that's needed to build these homes. Because we do have a housing crisis and that hasn't been fixed. And the problem is we can make big promises and we can do all these things in an election year, but is it really good going forward? And we need to make sure we're planning forward for what's causing these problems. We also got policies around housing for landlords, bringing back interest deductibility so that they can claim back some of those costs so that the rents don't keep rising. There's lots of problems going on that can be fixed in the background that can help.
With rising food prices, many families are struggling to put food on the table, and ACT has pointed to tax cuts as a measure to reduce the impact of the cost of living crisis and to allow people to, you've said, keep more of their money. So can you tell us a bit about what ACT's policy for tax cuts would entail and who that would help?
Yeah, so I mean, tax cuts are only possible if we look at what we're spending in the government as well. So we're not just saying tax cuts and keep everything as it is. Government needs to do what they're telling everybody else to do, and that is to cut back on wasteful spending. So unless we cut back on all this wasteful spending that's going on, tax cuts would not be possible. So alongside tax cuts, we would be looking at the wasted spending that goes on behind closed doors to be able to afford that, to put more money into the back pockets of Kiwis so that they can choose what to do with their money. And we have the two-tier tax system that we're proposing, the 17.5% and then up to the 28%. Because we've got six tax rates at the moment, and that just doesn't seem to be working. The bracket creep when it comes to what people are earning and their tax rates is not right, and we need to fix that.
So how would this tax cut policy specifically then help those people on the lowest incomes that are on the minimum wage?
Yeah, so we're talking about 17.5 tax rate for anyone under the 75,000, and we do understand that that may have caused some people that are currently on the lowest tax bracket to be paying a little bit more. So we do have an allowance in there in our tax cut policy to have a reimbursement for those under $14,000 up to, I think it's about $800 reimbursement, so that nobody will be any worse off under this tax cut policy.
And last week you spoke briefly about our hospital systems and the very long wait times for things like surgery. So without the funding from tax to improve this, how would ACT address issues like this in funding essential services?
And look, there's a lot of wasteful spending going on within government on projects. And we're about to talk about one of them, this announcement that we're going to have another bridge across the harbour. That's all well and good, but we've seen the wasted spending that's gone on with this project already, with actually no outcome. Millions of dollars being spent on contractors and planners, but actually no results. And we're seeing the same with rail, and they're trying to figure out how to get this project working, and the cost just keeps going up and up and up. And so these big projects need to be thought about a lot better, and we need to cut the spending. And we're not going to cut spending on any of those areas of health, police, teachers, and those essential services.
So I wanted to ask you about that government proposal for an alternative Waitemata Harbour crossing and some of the five options that they've suggested, which include tunnelled light rail and roading connections, a second bridge, or sort of a combination of those. What does ACT think about this proposal, and does Auckland need a second Waitemata Harbour crossing, in your opinion?
Oh yes, so I'm from Auckland, and no one would deny that another crossing over the harbour would be a great thing. What we need to really think about is how we are doing infrastructure and how we are funding the infrastructure. So at the moment, infrastructure has become a political football. We're using it in election times to make these announcements, and we've had it before, Auckland Light Rail, we've had it with Kiwi Build, and all these big announcements are made, but at the end of the day, we're not getting the results. So ACT has a policy on that. We would just take the politics out of transport and infrastructure, get central and local government to work together, and have 30-year infrastructure partnerships to give people a bit of certainty about what's going to go on in the future, and so that they can plan ahead, and that we don't have these big cost blowouts, and that we have investment going into the right places. Because at the moment, I just cannot see how they can do what they are proposing right now at an affordable cost to Aucklanders.
How would ACT better address Auckland's growing population, and specifically finding a way to reduce traffic congestion and things like that while crossing the Harbour Bridge or the Waitemata Harbour?
Yeah, so that's where our policy would kick in, because at the moment there's no certainty with what the government's proposing. They're just saying here's some proposals and they may happen. What ACT would do is make sure that if we do come up with an affordable plan for a second harbour crossing, that we make sure it's going to continue through no matter what government is in place. And then businesses and companies that are investing in this project won't feel like every 3 years that something might change. And so there'll be an incentive to invest in that project and make sure that it's done right, done well, and done in time.
And that was ACT's Karen Chaw discussing, firstly, increases to the minimum wage and benefits, as well as alternatives to a Waitemata Harbour crossing.
That was our weekly catch-up with the ACT Party's Karen Chaw.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.